It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
What's going on, everyone, and good morning. Today is Monday, November 18th. I hope you all had a fabulous weekend, enjoyed it, got a chance to relax, watch some football on Sunday. And this is, of course, your daily Go Birds morning update, giving you all the Eagles news you need to know, as well as keep an eye out for today. And well, like I said, no Eagles game on Sunday. It means we all got a chance to sit back, watch the teams around the league, and certainly want to talk about that a little bit. Not a great day for the Eagles overall, I would say. Certainly some teams specifically that plays over in Detroit that you wanted to lose came away with a pretty impressive win, but we'll talk about that in a little bit. Let's start off this pod like we always do with what is on the schedule today. And today we are going to hear from Nick Sirianni. The time is not quite available yet, but keep an eye out. We'll be playing it on WIP, of course, as always, be tweeting out any interesting things he has to say. First time Nick has talked since the big win over the Commanders, and man, that win just looks better and better as you look around the league. What happened on Sunday? I believe this was Fran Duffy of PHLY, and you know, obviously does an outstanding job, tweeted something that the Eagles were the only team that played a division game this week that covered. So, like, winning those games are not easy. Divisional games are never easy. The Eagles have certainly found that out over the years, with especially, ironically, when it comes to the Giants, a team that plays them pretty well, but they always obviously seem to beat. So, the win looks better and better the further away you get from it. And at sitting at 8-2, they're definitely in good space. They're in a good place going into these final few weeks. And it is crazy now. The Eagles are in week 12. Like, that's bananas. So, that's what's on the schedule for today. Nick talking for the first time since that win. The injury report, nothing new there. A Wednesday when they practice, we'll get a better look at where they're at. And then in terms of news, no real news with the team on Sunday, transaction-wise. Didn't make any roster changes, anything like that. So let's get into, I guess you would call this news, but it's not really the news I normally talk about with this. But we did get some new details about Saquon Barkley's contract. NFL.com released a report that gave the details about what his incentives are. And the reason for this is, of course, everyone's talking about the tush push again, because when it comes to Offensive Player of the Year, MVP, those type of things, touchdowns do matter. And I have some thoughts on that in a second. But obviously, as we know, as we see all the time with the Eagles, if Saquon goes down at the 2 or the 1 yard line, they're tush pushing it in. They'll run it twice, right? So as part of that, NFL.com released a story basically breaking down that Saquon probably saw this coming, or at least his team and his management did, because there are no touchdown incentives in his contract, right? Like, a lot of times in contracts, you'll see, if you get 10 plus touchdowns, you get this much money. If you get 12 plus touchdowns, you get this much money. Saquon didn't do that. Now, he still has 8 total touches, a touchdown. So it isn't like, you know, he's not getting in the end zone. 8 touchdowns in 10 games is pretty good. But yeah, so no incentive in his contract tied to touchdowns. It's almost a little bit of like the tush push clause in that contract. So NFL.com put out an article, and here's a little bit of what he had to say. Like I said, there's no touchdown clause in that contract, but part of the reason is, and I found this I found this stat interesting. According to NFL research, Barkley has been tackled at the 1 or 2 yard line 11 times this season, which is the most in the NFL. First of all, it's pretty crazy continuously getting tackled at the 1 and 2 with how strong of a runner he is and everything. I mean, it's pretty crazy he's not just getting that extra yard. But of those 11 times that he's been tackled at the 1 or 2 yard line, 5 have resulted in Jalen Hurts rushing touchdowns, 1 resulted in a Jalen Hurts passing touchdown, 1 a Barkley rushing touchdown, and a field goal. So of the 11 times he's been tackled at the 1 or 2 yard line, only once has he then got to bring it in. You could argue Barkley could have 10 more touchdowns. Like, I think that's probably a stretch. Obviously, one of those is a field goal. But still, I mean, he has 8. He could easily have 15. Like, so it certainly is impacting him. As for some other incentives in the contract, this is according to NFL Network. If Barkley totals 1,500 rushing and receiving yards combined, and he's already at 1,347, so he'll get there, he'll earn a $250,000 incentive, which he'll get in February. If he crosses 2,000 total yards, which I think is also possible, he'll pick up another $250,000. And the amount earned from his yardage incentive would also be added to his 2025 base salary as an escalator. In other words, 2,000 combined yards would net Barkley $1 million total. So the touchdowns, not helping, but he certainly is going to get a nice little check if he continues to play at this level. Some other incentives in Barkley's contract: for a first team All-Pro selection, Barkley earns $500,000. A second team honor of being voted into the Pro Bowl gets him $250,000. And with the yardage and same as the yardage incentive, it goes into his 2025 base salary. But he also has some team incentives in there. And look, it's looking like he's going to hit a lot of these incentives. I think he'll get 200,000. I think he'll get the 2,000 yards. I think he'll get that money. But I also think this team has a really good chance to go on a deep run into playoffs. So Barkley can earn up to $500,000, depending on what the Eagles do in the postseason. If they win the NFC Championship game and the Super Bowl, Barkley gets $250,000 for each of those. So look, Barkley's got a lot of extra money coming his way. But as I said, this all basically started becoming a talking point today because of the fact that there's talks about Barkley winning awards, Offensive Player of the Year. MVP is unlikely, but look, my colleague Ike Reese, right, says he should be in the discussion. Like, I agree. Like, Barkley is one of the most valuable players in the league. But the issue is, because of his touchdowns, the idea is that he's not going to get as many votes. And let me just say this. If you are a media member that is voting for MVP, and the only research you do is, well, Derrick Henry has this many touchdowns and Barkley has this many touchdowns, then you shouldn't be allowed to vote. It is crystal clear why Barkley is not getting these touchdowns, right? Like, it's the tush push. That is why. Like, Barkley has shown how valuable he is to the offense. He's shown that he's one of the best offensive players in the league. If you can just look at stats and vote off that and not give the proper context as to why he doesn't have the touchdowns, then I truly don't think you should be allowed to vote. Like, we see this every year where, you know, like, the media members don't do the proper amount of research when making these votes, right? Like, you can see it in how these votes turn out sometimes. And it's very clear that Barkley should have more touchdowns than he does, but because of the tush push, he doesn't. So if you think Derrick Henry is more valuable to the Ravens than Saquon is to the Eagles, there's an interesting debate to be had there. If you think Derrick Henry has played better than Saquon this year, there's a debate to be had there. But the debate should not include how many touchdowns each have, especially when they're both scoring a fair amount of touchdowns. It's not like Barkley has zero touchdowns, but especially when we know that Barkley could easily have 5 or 6 more touchdowns if the Eagles just called a different play. Like, it is what it is. Derrick Henry gets touchdowns that Saquon Barkley doesn't get in the Eagles offense. So when these final votes come out, and I don't think Barkley's going to win MVP, but Offensive Player of the Year? Like, yeah. And you know, could he get into MVP consideration? If the Eagles win out and get the 1 seed and he has, you know, 2,000 plus yards and gets close to breaking the NFL rushing record, then I think you could see him actually get some MVP buzz. But the Offensive Player of the Year thing, I think he's already in that discussion. I think he should have a really good chance of winning it up against Derrick Henry. Look, even the All-Pro stuff, right? Like, you heard there, the incentive in his contract if he makes All-Pro. Media members vote on that. Like, other people around the league vote on it. I shouldn't single out media members here. But the point I'm making is, everybody knows why Barkley isn't scoring touchdowns. And hopefully, when it comes to him winning these awards, receiving the honors of all pros, the fact that the tush push is in the Eagles offense won't penalize Barkley too much. So On the other side, let's take a look around the league. What happened on Sunday? Normally, I'd say in case you missed it, but I know that you guys probably spent all day watching football on Sunday. But maybe you didn't. Maybe you went out, enjoyed a nice day where you didn't have to watch the Eagles, or at least your day wasn't built around the Eagles. So on the other side, let's talk about some of the results around the league and how they impact the Eagles. But first, a word from our sponsor. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sir. So it's definitely scoreboard watching season in the NFL. Now we're in week 12. The Eagles are certainly in the race for that number one seed. The division's a close race. So as you look around, you're definitely at the point of the season where you're rooting for certain results, right? So on Sunday, the results didn't really go the Eagles' way. The Lions had a game against the Jacksonville Jaguars, a game that, let's be honest, there was very little chance the Lions were going to lose that game. They entered as 14-point favorites, I believe, and they did end up covering that. They ended up absolutely demolishing Jacksonville. Early on, Jacksonville, I think they scored first, and then it was kind of over from there. But you at least had that brief moment of hey, maybe they'll do something here, and they did not. Jared Goff rebounds from a really poor showing with those interceptions against Houston to come out and absolutely light the Jaguars up. Ton of yards, ton of touchdowns. He had an awesome game. And for the Eagles, you know, I think that you were hoping maybe an upset could happen. But as a result of the Lions winning, they still have the number one seed in the NFC. They sit at 9-1. The Eagles just behind them at 8-2. So the Eagles need them to lose a game. The Eagles need to probably only lose one game the rest of the year. There's one silver lining. I guess it's that it wasn't like a conference win. So there's that. Jacksonville, obviously, in the AFC. But it is a common opponent. So the Eagles have also played the Jaguars, also beat the Jaguars. The Lions now have that win against a common opponent, the common opponent as well when it comes to the tiebreaker. So the Lions go out there, get a win, and not good for the Eagles. The other team, the Los Angeles Rams. So obviously, when it comes to seeding and stuff like that, they're not really competing with the Rams. The Rams are not going to be in the running for that number one seed. They're not having a great year, but the Eagles are going to play them next week, and they do open up as 3-point favorites in that game. I'm a little surprised it's only 3. I thought it might be a little bit more, but you know, I don't think Los Angeles had a great day on Sunday. Now, they did win the game. They're now 5-5. They beat the New England Patriots 28-22. Matthew Stafford, 4 touchdowns, almost 300 yards, 142.7 passer rating. He obviously had a really good day. You know, the Patriots are a bit of a frisky team. I think you could look at this and go, the fact that it was close is a little interesting. Now, they were up 21-10 at one point, so they had, you know, a decent amount of control of this game. They were up 28-13. The Patriots come back. They score 10 points in the fourth quarter to make it a close game. They have the ball at the end to try to get the win. Drake May throws an interception. So, you know, seeing the highlights I did from that game, watching it, you know, go in and out on Red Zone, like, the Rams are kind of who you think they are. They are a team that can certainly move the ball. They have great receivers. Matthew Stafford, if you give him time in the pocket, can pick you apart. But they're not a team that the Eagles, you know, should super struggle with. Now, I think it is a tough spot. Like, we've talked a lot about trap games this year. You know, I think it was the Giants game was viewed a little bit as a trap game. You know, there were just tough. The Jaguars game was viewed as a bit of a trap game. I think this is the first true trap game of the year. Coming off of a big win over Washington, you're in a bit of a prolonged break. You get that mini bye, so you're probably going to come out a little bit rusty. You have the big game against Baltimore the following week, which is going to be viewed and build as a Super Bowl preview potentially. And Los Angeles really needs the game, sitting at 5-5. Obviously, their playoff chances are very much tied to winning this game. So I think it is a bit of a tough spot. Now, the good news is it's going to be a lot of Eagles fans there. Fans of Philly doing it big, as always. They, of course, are going to be bringing out, I think, a few planes full. Like, there's going to be a lot of Eagles fans there. My wife going to be there. Happy early birthday to Kristen. She'll be coming to Los Angeles for her birthday. Very excited for that. So there will be a lot of Eagles green there. And I think that'll help from the potential of having a letdown. But I do view it as a trap game. So 3 points, a little bit interesting. I kind of think my initial read on that, and I wish James or Maniac Malloy was here to help me read it correctly, but my initial read is that is an Eagles line. No, I think that's a Rams line, because I think people will all look and go, the Eagles should win by more than 3. So I think that's a Rams line would be my initial read on it. So maybe not a great thing from that line. But yeah, they go out, they beat the Patriots. They're 5-5. Their playoff hope's still alive. They're going to need a win next week. So that's a tough spot for the Eagles. The 49ers, they lose. They lost to the Seattle Seahawks. Man, it's funny. You know, you look around the league on Sunday, and it's like Packers, Bears, great rivalry. Steelers, Ravens, great rivalry. Chiefs, Bills, like, has become a rivalry, right? Not a divisional rivalry, but has become a rivalry. Then you just see Seattle, San Francisco, and nothing about that rivalry pops on the screen. Like, I can't get down with that being like this intense rivalry. They're like, they hate, like, it's just a boring rivalry. It's just the NFC West, man. Like, those rivalries are just brutal. So the Packers, the Niners do lose the game. Geno Smith has a game-winning touchdown at the end of the game to give the Seahawks the win. So the Niners now sit at, let me pull the record up here. The Niners, after that loss, sit at, why is my phone loading this? 5-5. So the Jonathan Gannon Cardinals still in first place in the NFC West at 6-4. Rams, Niners, and Seahawks all sitting at 5-5. So the 49ers definitely dealing with that post-Super Bowl loss hangover. We saw the Eagles deal with it, and the Niners have dealt with it this season. So loss for the 49ers. Me and James talked about this on the last pod. I still would have very little interest in seeing them come to the playoffs, come to Philadelphia in the playoffs. I think the Eagles would win the game. I'd pick them, but I would not. That would be a tough first round matchup for the Eagles, whether it's after the bye with the one seed or whether it's in that first round. Finally, the other result that's interesting to the Eagles, the Packers, they go out, they beat Chicago. Chicago had a chance to win the game at the end. And man, that's a rough go for Chicago, where they lose a game this year on a Hail Mary, and they lose the game on a blocked field goal. They could easily have 2 more wins and 2 fewer losses, and things are probably looking different there. But the Packers win. When we did the pod breaking down the number one seed, I said, look, the Packers are certainly worth monitoring. And if they keep winning, that'll still be the case. I still think it's a race between the Lions and the Eagles for that number one seed. The Bears are not that good. So, you know, the Packers struggling with them is a little interesting, but the Packers sit at 7-3, 1 game behind the Eagles with that win. So yeah, I think when you look at the NFC after another week in the NFL, I think the Lions deserve the top spot. If you're doing a power rankings, the Eagles, I think, would sit number 2. I'd probably go the Packers, 3. Packers, I'd probably go Packers 3. The Vikings win again. They go and they beat the Titans. They sit at 8-2. So it really is like the NFC North, the Eagles, and everybody else. Like, that's really how this looks like it's playing out. The NFC West, not afraid of any of those teams. So that'll do it for today's Daily Pod. I hope you all enjoyed your weekend, and I'm looking forward to getting back to talking about the Eagles this week, previewing this game, and see if the Eagles can keep it going. So thank you guys so much for listening, and as we always say, he's Elliot, I'm James. I'll talk to you guys later. Go
Birds! It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story
of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.